thank you that, Lord, not only do we have life, we have newness of life in Jesus. And today, as we continue to talk about your amazing grace, I pray for each and every one here, each and every one watching, that our hearts will be open to your life-giving word, the truth of it, and the life-changing power of it through your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, if you've not been here the last 3 weeks, you can go to our Facebook and catch up. We've been in a series about amazing grace, right? And how many, everybody here knows the song Amazing Grace. Even if you're not a Christ follower at this point, I'm so thankful you're here, that you're watching. You've probably heard it sang at a funeral, or you know what it is, or maybe you've heard T.J. Lang play it on his bagpipes, which is still always fantastic, right? But we're going to talk about Amazing Grace. We've talked about Jonah and David and Saul and Hosea and Gomer. And today we're going to talk about Ruth. Now, if you don't know the story of Ruth, Ruth is a redemption story. We're going to be in the book of Ruth. It's in the Old Testament. It's in kind of the more of the first half of your Bible. If you have that or a device, welcome you to join along or take notes. Ruth is a great story, right? And we a lot of you probably know who King David is, right? You've heard of David and Goliath, right? Like, even if you're maybe not necessarily in the Word a lot, you know who David and Goliath, you hear the reference all the time. David wrote the Psalms. We sang some of his Psalms this morning, right? Ruth is a redemption story, a story of loyalty and courage and thankfulness. But I believe that Ruth was David's great-grandma, if I got the genealogy correct. And so that's kind of who Ruth is, right? You think of King David, David and Goliath, this is his great-grandma, right? And if you've never read the story of Ruth, I encourage you, it's about a 15-minute read. And I also just not only encourage you, but if you're a Christ follower, you've got to be in the Word of God, right? You've got to be in the Word. You've got to be reading the Bible. You've got to be gathering together to study God's Word together. Ruth is a pretty vital book to understanding Christianity because, of course, she's in Jesus' genealogy. And it's a really great story, a story about God's character and love for us. There's a man in the story named Boaz. So when you hear Boaz, kind of think Jesus because there's a lot of similarities in the character, right? Boaz, great, great guy, right? Well, before we dive into that, I don't know if any of you remember, and I assume they do this in Hoopston, right? I don't know. I didn't go to school here. Does Hoopston do like the senior superlatives, like most likely to succeed, like best dressed? Is that something that was done here or where you went to high school? We still do that. If anybody here ever won one of those awards, raise your hand. Just a couple of you. Pastor Carlos, what were you? Most likely to succeed. Look at you, stud. That's awesome. I saw another hand. Just say it. Don't be scared. Most likely to, or most embarrassed? No. Most. Well, thank God you're here this morning. Did I see any other hands? I don't want to miss anybody. Most musical. There we go. Very nice. Praise band. God bless you. So let's see. Successful, yes. Musical, yes. When's your turn? No. No, that's a bad joke. I possibly could have been a class clown. I'm not going to admit that since we're on Facebook probably. So, but anyway, that's an award, right? And so has anybody here ever won an award of any kind? Ever just been given anything? Yeah, probably a lot of us, right? And that's always fun, right? Has anybody here ever received something that they didn't deserve? Raise your hand. Every hand. Has anybody here ever not got a birthday present? You didn't deserve that. You didn't have anything to do with you being born. What are you talking about? You didn't deserve the birthday present. It was a gift, right? Today we're going to talk about God's gift to us as we kind of finish this Amazing Grace series. And I think it's special to receive something that we don't deserve, right? Because there's a lot of stuff that we kind of think we deserve and we get it, right? But it's special when we know that we don't deserve it. And I think, to be honest, there's kind of a parallel here with a lot of times what's wrong. And if you read the statistics on churches in America, it's heartbreaking that 90%+ of churches are stagnant or declining. And praise Jesus, under Pastor Carlos' leadership, and this church has been here 110 years, we are not stagnant or declining. Amen? We are not. We are. God is has us on the way up. It's fantastic. And, you know, that being said, I think one of the reasons is there's a thankful spirit. We clap in between songs. We love each other. We love being here. We love our community. I think it's fantastic. But what's wrong with a lot of churches is so many churchgoers think that we think we're good or maybe even we're better, and we don't need grace because we don't live in sin, because as Christians we're not supposed to live in sin, and that's a good thing. But so often we take God's grace for granted, so we're fruitless and we're not thankful enough. We don't have enough joy. We don't spend enough time with the Lord in His Word, and we're not living out the fruits of the Spirit, which, you know, one of those is joy. And it's the joy of knowing we don't deserve life. We don't deserve anything. What we deserve is hell, amen? But King Jesus went to the cross and bought our salvation and bought our forgiveness and gave us amazing grace. So it's a fantastic thing. And the great news is that anybody who's ever lived, along with people now, nobody deserves grace, right? The person that messes up your order in the drive-thru, do they deserve grace? No. I said no onions. It's not that hard, okay? They don't deserve that, right? The person who cuts you off in traffic. The person who's mean to you on Facebook. The person who offends you. The person who's mean to your child. Well, they don't. That's my child. What if God was like, hey, Jesus had to go to the cross because of everything that you and I have done and do. And so what if God looked at us that way and said, you were not good to my kid. You rejected Jesus. Every time we sin, we reject Jesus. But God still gives grace. What about the annoying neighbor? Anybody here have annoying neighbors? Don't raise your hand. That's okay. You might be that annoying neighbor, right? The murderer, the adulterer, I talked about last week, the person who gets to the stop sign first and won't go, right? They get God's grace. They do, along with you and I. And we don't deserve it, and there's nothing we can do to earn or deserve God's grace, is there? Even when we accept Jesus, we don't deserve it. We're not earning it. It's a gift. It's a free gift. We're totally undeserving, right? God's grace is more like the birthday gift, right? I had two grandmas, and one of my grandmas who just recently passed, she always was really lavish and giving great birthday gifts, and it was always like such a blessing to get that, right? But it wasn't deserved, right? You didn't really earn it. But now if you go into work this week and put your 40 hours in, right, and it's time for your paycheck to come and your paycheck doesn't come, that's a little different. You get angry, or you might have to go to court because you earned that, right? That's a whole different thing, right? And we need to remember what we've really earned is judgment. But we pass from that because of what King Jesus did for us. It's because of what He did for us. It's the same with God's grace. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. But we feel entitled to it. Let's be honest. We do. Because, you know, we talk so much and sing so much about God's love. It's like, well, I kind of deserve grace, right? Now, there's all kinds of responses to God's grace, right? And some of you here today have responded. You are living for Jesus. You understand it's a free gift. It's not about how good you can be or how much you attend church or any of these things. It's just it's a gift, and you've said yes, right? You have no doubt. You have that blessed assurance. But you still understand that when you receive that grace, you receive Jesus. You're filled with the Holy Spirit when you're baptized and God's love is shed abroad in your heart. So you're following Jesus. You're loving and serving others. You're living a holy life as you can, right? And a lot of people are in the middle of what I would call indifferent. I mean, I believe in God, like, and as a pastor now for 13 years, by the grace of God, the number of times I hear, well, I believe in God, and what the next word always is? But, I don't agree with this or this or this, and I don't have to go to church, I don't have to, and other people, and Christians are hypocrites, and which we are, I mean, a lot of times, right? But it's always that but. And so many people are in the middle, like, you know what, I understand, I believe in God, but don't really care or do much with God's grace. I don't want to go to hell for sure, but I kind of want to live how I want and do what I want and just be indifferent. I want the couple vacations a year and just kind of going through life, right? There's all kinds of responses. But there's a lot of people as well, and some here today, probably some that they're watching or will watch, you've kind of said no to God's grace by doing nothing. I believe in God, but I haven't given my life to Jesus. I'm not living as a Christian. I'm not part of church, loving, serving, in the Word, all those kind of things, right? What's so cool about God is He lets us make the choice for ourselves. And we all have made or make the choice. And no choice is a choice. It's a choice to say no to Jesus. But what God loves us so much, He lets us make that choice. And if you're here this morning and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the deal is it can be frustrating to watch people who don't, because you're like, you're missing out. It's not all the things the world will say, the church wants your money and we're a bunch of hypocrites and all this. It's not about any of that. It's about that personal relationship that is the most fulfilling thing I have ever had in 47 years of life. It's changed my life. It's saved my life, saved my soul, saved my marriage more than once. And just without Jesus, I can't imagine one moment of life. And listen, I like to have fun. Like, I'm a pretty fun guy. Nobody gonna amen that? Come on. Where's my family at? The world will tell you if you're a Christian, then you have to follow every single rule and it's no fun, you're stuffy and you're all... No, listen, holiness is absolutely, absolutely critical. But here's one thing I found, especially as a guy who have made a lot of mistakes in my life. Holiness is the best thing I can do for myself. It's the best thing I can do for my family, my wife, my kids, those around me, those that love me, is to try to obey King Jesus with my life, to obey what the Word of God says, right? But God lets us make this choice. He gives us free will. God, this is the God of the universe, right? There are how many hundreds of billions of galaxies, and just the universe is so complex. God is God. He's amazing. The same God opens himself up to rejection by letting us choose to accept or reject him. Think about that. If I were God, I wouldn't do it. If I knew that you were either going to spend eternity in heaven or hell, and I love you so much, and I sent my own son to die for you and die for your sins, I'd probably be like, well, you know, you're going to choose me because hell's going to be really bad and heaven's going to be fantastic. And I love you and want you in heaven. But God is also fair. And so God gives us grace knowing we can choose to accept or reject it, right? And why does he do that, right? It's like, I don't understand that because it's so hard for me to understand what that would be like, right? God loves us so much. Why does he give us the choice to reject him? Because people die and go into an eternity in hell and darkness every day. And if I were God, I could be like, I love them and I just hate that they're rejecting me. But why does God do this? Well, thankfully, we have the Bible to give us answers to that. So we're going to go into Ruth today, right? I'm going to try to move through this, but we're going to talk about Ruth and Boaz and kind of answer that question, right? Why does God allow us to reject grace? And why does God give us so much grace that we don't deserve? Because even once we accept King Jesus, we become Christians, we still sin. That's where the world says we're hypocrites, right? Hypocrite because, you know, we do something wrong. That's not the deal. We're hypocrites when we don't love and forgive well, when we don't serve well, when we fight with each other, when we backbite, when we gossip, when we talk about, you hear about so-and-so, when we take joy, as Carlos's dad said so eloquently yesterday, we almost take joy when somebody falls because it makes us feel better about ourselves. That is being a hypocrite, right? It's not that God expects us to be perfect. So let's go to the story of Ruth, right? There was a guy named Elimelech, and he was from Judah, and there was a famine, right? There was a famine. There was no food in the land. Now, today, we can't imagine what a famine would have been like. Just imagine there's no food, right? We think COVID, oh, the grocery store got short on toilet paper. That was rough. No, we're talking a famine. No dollar, nowhere to go buy groceries. You can't get them DoorDashed. The restaurants are out of food. Like, there was no food. So he decided to pack his family up, Naomi and his kids, and move to a place called Moab. Now, in this case, this was a bad decision because God had told them not to go. He had told Elimelech not to go, which is a reminder today that our decisions matter, don't they? We don't sin in a bubble. We don't make choices in a bubble. Our decisions not only affect us, those around us, our decisions matter. But things were tough. So instead of trusting God and staying there, they ran from God and away from what he said to do. Boy, there's a lesson there. I've been through a lot of tough times in life. Some I couldn't have helped. Some were my own doing. And the worst thing I ever did was instead of running back to the Lord, I ran from him. So if you're here today and you're going through it, please let me assure you, don't run from him, run to him. Do not run from him, run to him. They ran from him, right? It'll only make things worse. So they run. Elimelech ends up dying. His sons die. And back then, it was unfortunately just a terrible thing to be a widow. So Naomi became a widow. Her two daughter-in-laws, one of whom was Ruth, became widows. And again, back then, that was a tough situation to be in. And so they just like, what are we going to do? And this is when Ruth gives the famous passage, which is not where we're going today. She's like, wherever you go, I will go. Your people will be my people and all that. She tells her mother-in-law, I'm going to be loyal to you, right? So Naomi decides they're going to return to Bethlehem. They're going to return to God's town, which as we'll see later on, ends up really well. You could probably guess it ends up well because we're talking about Ruth. Naomi says, Ruth, the three of us are going to return to Bethlehem. And there's a lesson there. No matter how bad you've blown it, what you've done, where you're at, if you return to the Lord, things will always end up much better. And they will for them, right? But it had to be a tough decision because they had left Bethlehem and now they left Bethlehem, everything was great. They were married, they had their husbands, they had, you know, stuff, they were just going to find more food, whatever. But going back had to be tough because back then people, I don't know if you knew this, but several thousand years ago, people gossiped. People talked about people behind their backs. People made fun of people. People second-guessed. People liked it when other people had struggles. So now they're coming back and everybody's like, here comes, you know, Naomi, here comes Ruth. She's a witch, she's widowed. Which back then, widows had no rights, right? She's widowed. She's coming back. she's on the heels of her mother-in-law. That must be so embarrassing. It had to be a hard decision to go back to Bethlehem. To go back to Bethlehem, correct. So, there's another lesson for us there today as well. Returning to God is sometimes, believe it or not, it's not always easy for people. I don't know if you, a lot of you here are Christians already. We think it's simple. Why don't you just give your life to Jesus? Why don't you just come back to church? Why don't you just, it's not always that simple because there is an enemy of your soul and your life and everything good in your life. And the Bible assures us he is the best liar and manipulator that has ever lived. And that's the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him, he's real, right? But they decide when things got tough to go back to God's town. They kind of hat in hand, tail between their legs. And in the long run, it was very good for them, which is kind of our lesson for today. So in Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain.'" Glean means to gather or collect, if you don't know, just so we know that they're gleaning heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. "And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' And then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech." So Boaz he's wealthy. He's a good guy. He's got everything going for him, right? And Ruth wants to find work because she's broke. She's hungry. And widows in that society, again, not a good situation. So Ruth takes this leap of faith to return to Judah. Remember, it was hard for them to come back, and God blessed it. Fortunately for them, Judah had a welfare system, right? They had one, and it was good. They would say, when you harvest, don't take everything. Leave some for the poor. So by God's grace, and also because Ruth and they made a leap of faith, right? She ends up in Boaz's field. And this was not a coincidence. And there's a lesson for us here today as we live our lives, as we make our decisions and make our choices, right? Is that when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding and acknowledge Him, He directs our paths. And if you've lived any life, you know it's not always in that second. It's not always, but I can tell you God is faithful. And in 47 years, He's always working. You guys ever seen the song Waymaker here or heard it on the radio? Even when we can't see it, He's working. He is working for your good because He loves you. But we have decisions to make of do we step towards Him or do we run from Him? Do we act in faith and obedience or do we just do whatever we want? And then when things get hard, please God, let's pray and fix this. I mean, I've done that before, but never again. If you'll step towards Him in faith, He will bless that. If you act in obedience, He will bless that. It was providence. It was God's divine orchestration that led Ruth to Boaz. Chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. "Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered him, 'The Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, 'It's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab.' And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house." It's interesting that just a step of faith from Ruth began to work down the road for her. And again, she's in Jesus' genealogy. Boaz shows up. Boaz, let's just call it what it is. He's checking her out, right? And the foreman knew who Ruth was too. So we gather from the story, Ruth was probably pretty attractive, right? Just doesn't really matter that much, but it's part of the story, right? Go on to verses 8 through 9. "Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not glean in another field nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young man not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young man have drawn.'" This is Boaz being kind. This is Boaz, you know, giving kindness, compassion, grace, favor. Ruth was about as low as you could get in society. She was a widow. She had moved away. She was a foreigner. She was poor, right? And she had nothing really to offer. She was the lowest of the low, but he was kind to her. He was kind to her. He gave her provision, food, drink, protection from men, all kinds of kindness to her. And I want you to think about your life today as you sit here today. Jesus knows your heart. He knows everything about you. He knows all of your sin, all your struggle, all the stuff in life, right? And I want you to think about that here today. And he's saying to you, let my grace be sufficient. Let my grace be enough for you. We understand that often we never experience that because we never step out in faith. If you're here today and don't know Jesus, you've not experienced that. And there's a supernatural part to it, right? Because it's not flesh and blood who it's not flesh and blood where our Father in heaven is revealed, is it? Sometimes we're always like, well, I don't know, like I believe, but there's the buts again. And we don't live in obedience. We don't live in surrender to Jesus. So we don't see the miracles. We don't get the providence because why? We want to be in control of our lives. Amen. That is the cry of the world right now. Follow your heart. YOLO. I'll say it. You'll probably hear me say it. Probably Carlos too, I'm sure, more than you want. It's just the cry of the world, and it's absolutely a lie. As the Bible says, our hearts are the most deceitful things in the universe. That's mine too. I can convince myself of most anything and justify it if I'm not careful. If I'm not careful. And we all have different stuff. We have different struggles. We have different needs. Except we all have one need in common. And that's the need of being saved from our sins. We're all sinners, as the Bible says, right? And we have this constant propensity to turn our back on God. To kind of want to do our own thing. To want to be in control. To kind of want to run our own life. And this separates us from God. Because we all have what? We have a sin problem. You have a sin problem. I, Pastor Micah, even as a Christian, I'm not saying I'm living in sin. I have a sin problem. Temptations are there. Sin is there. Spiritual apathy is there. Pride is always there. The enemy wants us, I want to be offended. I want to take offense at what people do instead of realizing I have no right to do that because I have been forgiven. Because Jesus died on the cross for my sins and your sins. We have no right for that. Grace is undeserved, like Boaz is offering to Ruth here. You notice Ruth didn't make the first move, Boaz did, right? She probably obviously never would have. Just like, hey, God allowed you to be born. And as the Bible says, while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. God made the first move towards you and I. That's pretty cool. So maybe today you and I really do need God's grace. Maybe it's not just a song, Amazing Grace, or something that the pastor gets up here and talks about. Maybe you and I really need God's grace today, amen? We do. It's available. It's amazing. And he is worthy. Now we can't earn it. Can't be good enough. It's too bad, right? We want to do that, right? I hear that a lot from people. I'm a pretty good person. Like, I mean, by what standard? Jesus said nobody's good but God, right? And so if you look at, that's another trick the enemy will use, right? Because a lot, you know, if you look at the world standards, probably most of you sitting in here, if not all, are pretty good people on the curve, right? But God doesn't have a curve in that capacity. It is Jesus only as the way, the truth, and the life, and the way to the Father. We can't earn it. Ruth 2:10. So she's been given this amazing grace. She's been given this favor. And so 2:10 says, she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Do you see yourself in this verse at all today? I want you to think about that. You need to see yourself in this verse. Why would God give me grace? I've done a lot of wrong things in my life. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. But we should see this verse and see ourselves in it. And everyday thankfulness should be a response to that. I want to challenge the church here today. Being more joyful, more thankful, more positive, more giving, more loving. We've got to step that up, church. And we do a good job here. Let's do a great job. Let's let the Lord work even more in those ways in our life, right? So why aren't we better at that, right? This thankfulness and worship and obedience should constantly be with us and in our heart. We should have the perspective of, I don't deserve grace. I didn't create myself. I didn't give myself life. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to one day be going to heaven, which is going to be better than we can imagine. I don't deserve all of God's blessings, which I have here right now. And I know some today are going through it, and I'm so sorry for that. But if you are living in Hoopston, Illinois in America in 2023, you are living way better than 99.9% of people on earth that have ever lived or are living live. Fact. Amen. Let's be thankful. Let's just say thanks for it. You guys awake? All right. The truth is, we have stuff probably, and I have stuff, and you have stuff people don't know about going through this, but we are very blessed. And we know, well, I work hard, make good decisions, and that's by the grace of God alone. That's why the Bible says, don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And we should be more thankful, but so easily we complain, we get mad, we get offended, we sin. You know, it's because we take our eyes off of Jesus. We forget about the cross. And if you've been, it's more dangerous. If you're here and maybe you've been saved a long time, been in church a long time, it's more dangerous for us. It's so easy to take for granted. And so easy to get spiritually full of ourselves and lose that humility and lose that thankfulness. And I want us to not be, I'll call it Christian ingrates, but rather, you know what, have a spirit of falling and bowing down in thankfulness. I'm going to go old hymn on you for a minute. There's an old hymn that says, I bowed on my knees and cried holy. And if you've ever heard it, that should be our response on a daily basis to the breath in our lungs, every good thing in our life, and a God who loves us and a Jesus who died for us. Amen? Every single day. Every single day. And this is my story. I'm not worthy. Like, God, don't you remember all the stupid things I've done in my life, or how I've turned my back and how I ran from you for years and years and years, and I don't deserve it, but here's the really cool thing. The fact that you are saved this morning, if you are, or can be if you're not, it really has nothing to do with you. It has to do with God and who He is. It has to do with His character and His love for you. It's not about you and I. Everything in the world today and everything that our flesh, myself as well, I want it to be about me, right? If you're married this morning, have you ever had your partner tell you it's always all about you? Yes? No? I haven't either. I just thought maybe some of you are laughing. You're good luck sleeping on the couch tonight. But our flesh wants us to do that. And the enemy wants us to do that, right? It's all about me. Really, guys, God's grace, John 3:16. The worship songs we sing, being here today, being saved, being alive. What's the Bible say many times? It's all about Jesus. It's all about who He is. So look what Ruth did here. Why be kind to me? I'm just a foreigner. And there's her thing. She has insecurity. She has self-doubt. We all have things that keep us from living in this thankfulness and accepting this amazing grace, right? Or that hold us back from making a decision for Jesus. We all have these excuses. We all have these buts, right? What was the sermon about this morning, that we all have buts? Yes, that's good. We all have these buts. I'd be a Christian, but I'd come to church, but I'd forgive that person, but we forget we're not worthy. We don't deserve to be forgiven. So they might not deserve to be forgiven. Let's forgive them anyway. What is it for you that you can't let go of or you're holding on to that's keeping you from being more thankful? What's happened in your life? Because we've all got the stuff where we lose our joy. We lose our thankfulness. We get burnt out. And that's what we talked about last week. That's why, especially even as much for Christians that are already Christians, is we repent so that times of refreshing can come. Sometimes it's God. It's not something we did. It's an attitude we have. It's an unforgiveness. It's a bitterness. It's things that hold us back from God's best. Ruth 2:11 through 12. When she said, why are you being kind to me? Boaz answered her and said, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. So does that verse, especially verse 11, does that mean to say that grace can be earned? No, once again, I believe it's Boaz saying, Ruth, I know that you're a foreigner, right? I know that maybe you don't deserve these things. And he's saying, I don't really care, is what he's saying. And what God wants you to hear today is He doesn't care how many times you've blown it. If you're blowing it right now, He's saying, turn from that and turn to me. I love you. I offer you grace. His grace is sufficient. Now, on the flip side, for a lot of us probably here today, here's the deal. If you're sitting here today thinking, you know what, I'm good. Been a Christian a long time, sanctified for a long time, not living in sin, pretty comfortable, right? I need to remind you that Jesus came down from heaven. Light of the world came down into darkness, as we sang today, to come and become a human, God in a bod, and be arrested and beaten and tortured and died. And from the first time in all of eternity, separated from God and His love for those hours for your sin. And for my sin. So if we have an attitude today of, I really hope that you know, what we talked about last week, I hope that person repents. I hope they get right with God. Let's look at our own hearts. Let's every one of us address our own hearts today and our thankfulness or lack thereof, our giving grace or lack thereof. Are we humble and thankful? This story profiles this amazing grace so well to me. That she had, there was plenty of good things going for Ruth, but there were plenty of struggles that she had as well, right? But again, Boaz showed her, as God shows us, it's not about her. It's not about us. It's about God's love for us and His amazing grace. It's available to you today, and it's completely about His love for you and His concern for your eternity. It's about His love for you and concern for your eternity. So if you're here today and you're already saved, I want to finish the story in just a moment as well with something else, right? If you're here today and you've rejected, you've never said yes to Jesus as your Savior, I really love if you would see myself or Pastor Carlos before you leave. Let's talk about what that might look like, right? But it's a gift. Grace is a gift. It's given freely. And if you're here today, I want you to be encouraged that like Boaz, he told the man to keep dropping this stuff on the ground, right? Here's one thing we need to be more thankful for, right? That's how God's grace is for us. It's perpetual. It's like, keep doing this over and over. Keep doing this so she can continue to eat, right? That she'll have plenty. This is God's grace for you and I. Not to be abused or using as an excuse to live in sin, but to be thankful for. To be thankful for today. He loves you so much. And the proof of this is you're alive. He made you. He saved you. No matter what you've done, right? He loves you so much. I'm going to ask you to stand with me today if you're able as we prepare to close the message in just a moment. In just a moment, we're going to have a closing hymn, right? Let me finish with this. Especially if you're maybe already saved today and you're like, how does this message apply to me? She goes back home and Naomi sees God's grace and it changes her heart. See, when you live in this thankfulness, when you live in this state of being thankful for God's grace and being joyful and giving grace freely and loving well, that gives you freedom. And it changes how you act, how you react, how you love, how you treat others. And this will cause others to be drawn to Christ. There it is, church. There's how we do it. It's not that we go around telling everybody what's right and what's wrong and here's all the things that I don't do. It's that we don't forget God's amazing grace and how undeserving we are of it and that we are more thankful for it. And all the blessings in our life, we really do turn back to praise, as the song says, right? That's what we do. Our life is His. It's His amazing grace. So this morning, before we sing our closing song, I want you to just bow your head and close your eyes with me as we prepare to pray. Just bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you this morning want to say, you know what, here, the Bible says don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers. If we say before we get back into life here this afternoon and get busy again, etc., if right now in this moment I say, I don't want to be a hearer, I want to be a doer. And I need to be more thankful. I need to remind myself that I'm not worthy of God's grace. It is who He is and His love for me. And likewise, there are people in my life who aren't deserving of it, but I'm going to give it anyway. We talked about last week, I'm going to buy Him back with how I love Him and treat Him. If we want to commit, and you would like to commit today to be more thankful and living out this thankfulness for God's grace in your life, for His forgiveness of your sins, would you slip your hand up this morning? I need to be more thankful, Lord. Awesome. You can lower your hands. If we could have Holly and Mary come back up. We're going to sing our closing song in just a moment. I'm going to come back up and pray. We've got one more order of business today. But if anything God spoke to your heart today, again, as always, seek out one of your pastors. What does it look like for me to live more thankfully? What does it look like for me to live more in God's grace and give it out better? Because He loves you and He is for you. And we're going to sing one more hymn this morning before we